By the way, the UK now downgrading the classification of this virus in their health manuals and so forth. As Neil Ferguson backs off his end of the world apocalypse doomsday pandemic model that he predicted 2.2 million Americans would die, now that he's backed off from that, without apology, by the way. Now that he's backed off of that, the British, the UK health department's now backing off them classifying this as the worst kind of pathogen. They apparently are coming to the conclusion it is not. And as you head into the warmer weather here in the Northern Hemisphere, that's traditionally hard on viruses, of course, and could bring a close to it. And we'll keep an eye on everything that's happening there. Now we're going to shift gears. Adam Hartage here, the CEO and co-founder of Remote Health Solutions, a service for disabled veteran-owned small business that provides industry-leading telemedicine devices. Adam, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks a lot. I really appreciate you having me.
I really appreciate you being here. All right, so telemedicine, one of the things that helps keep us away from each other, not going into the doctor's office, not going in and possibly either sharing something we have or collecting something that somebody else had as far as bugs, and not just this virus, but all sorts of things. The president certainly moved telemedicine to the front line of this fight. How important is that to you?
You know, it's funny that you say that. I actually texted our entire leadership team as soon as he made that announcement. And I said, it looks like the president just shot our sleepy little industry into the stratosphere. And that has been absolutely the case. To say it's seen an uptick would be an understatement.
Right,
I would say that 3 weeks ago, everybody had kind of heard of, you know, this telehealth concept, but nobody on a large scale that has really embraced it. And now
people were using it for something different 3 weeks ago. They were using it for, well, men's health or whatever, right? They would do things they didn't want to. But now it's become mainstream overnight, really. And so my question to you, Adam, is the infrastructure there? Is the infrastructure for medical facilities to have these live conferences, these conversations back and forth with patients? They need to be secure lines because of HIPAA laws and so forth. They need to be so the doctor can see the patient can see the doctor. And how far can we go? So let's talk about infrastructure, and then I want to come back and say, can you get your blood pressure taken? Can you get your blood sugar checked? Can you do different things through telemedicine that makes it even better? Go ahead.
Right. Okay. Well, two pieces to that. So first, the infrastructure. I would say, quite honestly, the answer is probably no at first on scale. And it's not available widely on scale because hospitals and hospital systems have not really embraced in facility type devices. So and what I mean by that is, yes, can you get blood pressure? Can you get different readings? So, for example, with our device line, everything that we have is called the virtual exam room. So what we do is we provide a clinical-level exam over a video and audio capability. So, in other words, everything that we do is secure, is HIPAA-compliant, is encrypted end-to-end. And you can do a complete vital signs. You could do a video laryngoscope. You could do a 12-lead EKG or digital stethoscope, any of those other things. So in addition to actually seeing and talking to the patient, they can collect real diagnostic data, which actually allows our device to be what they call a Class 2 device, and it allows to remotely diagnose.
Let me jump forward here a little bit, Adam. I mean, when I used to go to the gym, when gyms used to be legal here in the United States before the pandemic, you know, the elliptical I would get on, it would take my pulse. It would tell me how fast I'm going. I'm sure it could take my temperature, and I'm sure that basic scanners of some sort could hook to somebody's computer at home and probably be pretty affordable. Might be a good idea for you to look into to create such a thing, and I'd like to invest in that as soon as possible, by the way.
But
those sorts of things are out there, right?
Because that's already existing as well. There are a range of those that are actually available. The difference is that they have not been widely adopted. The funny thing is the commercial market has adopted them much more quickly than the actual hospital infrastructure. So whether that's your Fitbit or any of the different watches that you could wear, or in our case, our home deployable device line, or even some of the tactile stuff that we supply to the military.
So I guess when we look at other things like blood pressure, obviously I have a an aftermarket blood pressure cuff here at the house. I don't use it. I don't have any blood pressure issues. It was a gift from somebody at some point. And, you know, you can get that sort of thing. You can give that information to the doctor. As far as sugar levels for diabetics and so forth, you can certainly give that and give that to your doctor as you're on the phone with them. These are all sorts of things you can share with the doctor. Obviously, there's some limitation to telemedicine. But as far as being convenient to people, not driving to the office, not having to be there, I would think the pure logistics of it, a doctor could probably talk to and consult more patients by way of a computer screen because they don't have to shuffle them in and out of the office, right? They don't have to sit down, sign the paper, sign in. Everything's right there. Click to the next. I mean, it would be efficient, wouldn't it?
That is 100% accurate. In fact, so everything that you mentioned, glucose, blood pressure, everything is doable via telemedicine. And then when a doctor is able to see, so aside from the readings, the other thing that the doctor must be able to do is see the patient's presentation. So that's why the video aspect of it is important. And, you know, when you combine those two things, and then exactly what you said, the efficiency element of it, in addition to that, for example, with our system, all those readings that a doctor or a nurse would take, all of those are then saved and synced to our cloud, and we can see trends over time. So we do this all the time right now with chronically ill Medicare patients.
So basically, what you're saying here...
Around the U.S. Go ahead.
For lack of a better term, I'm going to put it this way, and we've got Adam Hartage here. He is the CEO and co-founder of Remote Health Solutions. It's a service-disabled, veteran-owned small business. So what we've got here, basically, is the QuickBooks version of your health. You click this, you click... But I'm making it easy for you. It's kind of cute, right? Here's your QuickBooks version of your health. Here's your blood pressure. Here it is over the last 10 years. Here's your weight over the last 10 years. Here's your diabetic readings over the last 10 years. And it kind of... And you start to see you had this period of stress here, and you gained some weight there, and then you got healthier here, and you broke your foot here, so that took you out. You could look at all of these things, and it becomes... something you can look at, and it becomes very relatable because it's all there.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. It's that's the most valuable thing. So one blood pressure reading is fine, but 1,000 blood pressure readings is much better. And,
absolutely,
we've noticed that with some of our, especially with some of our very elderly Medicare patients with multiple what they call comorbidities or things that are definitely wrong with them. So
right.
We're talking about, you know, congestive heart failure, hypertension, COPD, diabetes. Those kinds of things. When we see patients like that, we may look at somebody's pulse oxygen saturation or their blood oxygen saturation and see that it's low. And normally that would be alarming, but for this person, that's their baseline.
Right.
It just is what it is. So understanding that, and now our nurse teams over time learn those things about each individual patient. But, you know, the first time you see one of those readings, you say, oh, my gosh, this needs, you know, this really needs some attention.
But in this case, for that patient, because you have so much information that goes back and it just adds to the file, and we need to find ways to make sure it's encrypted and protected in the way we can have lines so doctors and patients can talk. But congratulations to you, Adam, for being in the right place with telemedicine at the right time to help fight this pandemic and, of course, modernize medicine. I got to leave it right there, Adam. Greatly appreciate you being here.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Adam Hartage, CEO and co-founder of Remote Health Solutions, a company like so many that are going to boom right now. Back in a moment in the No Panic Zone. You know, people still walk up to me and say, man, have you lost weight? I'm Steve Gruber, and I did lose weight, a lot of it. I did it with My Pure Health Solutions, formerly Nutrimost. I'm still surprised because it's been almost 2 years since I made the decision to drop the pounds. And with My Pure Health Solutions, I did it with a custom plan built just for me. And I'm so happy I did. I feel better. People tell me I look better. I lost 40 pounds. I still feel great. Find out more at GruberHealth.com. GruberHealth.com. That's GruberHealth.com. Believe me, if I could do it, so can you.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the most powerful voice for business in Michigan.
I'm Rich Studley with the Michigan Chamber. We represent about 5,000 employers who employ over 1 million Michigan residents. At times like this, employees and employers have questions. We're your trusted source of information. Please visit the Michigan Chamber's website at michamber.com for the timely and accurate information you need to stay in business and to keep Michigan moving forward.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce. Commerce, moving Michigan forward.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.